Good morning, everybody. You know, the Lord's good. I really want to get up and run up back and forth this floor right now, but I'm going to stand still. I can't. Told not to. Stand still. But that's all right. You know, I was going through a bunch of scriptures, and they all kind of just left my mind as soon as I got up here, but praise God. Paul says he hates it when that happens. But one thing that I know, and as I go through my week, as I go through my struggles, as I go through trials, you know, I know that there's a lot of areas in my life where I just don't believe God in. You know what I mean? Or there's areas in my life that I don't glorify the Lord in. Or there's areas in my life that I just don't lift up to Him. But see, that we say, you know, we've been talking about Psalm 51 and creating me a clean heart. You know, there's stuff in there you just don't know. Where it says, purge me with hyssop, that's expectorant. That junk starts to come out your lungs. It sounds ugly. It sounds nasty. And you know, one of the things in John 15 it says, and let me just turn to it. I'm just going to go quickly. You guys don't have to go there. But what did he say in the Gospel of John 15? You know, and this is a part of it, folks. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He purgeth it. You know, that's what He does with us. We are the branches. He is the vine. You know? But He just doesn't let garbage and stuff that we don't, that we put before Him, or areas that we have not lifted up to Him, that we may be healed from them, or get rid of them, or get shed of them. You know, He's a good God. He's a good Father. He loves you. You know, if you ask Him, you know, what is He ask Him, a stone? He's going to give you a serpent? No. You ask the Lord to create in you a clean heart. That's what we need. You know, and as we go about our day, you know, I can see, you know, in my work, my home, here in ministry, seeing areas where I have not yet lifted up to the Lord, or have not trusted in the Lord and His power to overcome these things in my life. And I go, thank you, Lord. You know, you talk about thy rod and thy staff, comfort me. What are you talking about? Enduring chastening. You know, for it's unpleasant for a second, but in the long run, it's good. And I'm paraphrasing that really bad. I don't know where really to turn in that. But you know, I see yet throughout my week, I say, man, Lord, thank you. Thank you for showing this. And it really is not discouraging. Unless I let it be. I can let it be discouraging and go, oh God, I'm just a wretch. Oh, poor me. Man, all these areas I have not lifted up. And man, you know, that's what the gospel's here for. And the Lord's going, I'm not showing these things to discourage you. I'm showing these things so you can turn them and lift them up. Let them go. Give them to me so they don't ail you anymore. I'm showing you these things that you can learn to trust in me in everything. That I can take these ailments away. That you can trust in me, and what I've done is full and complete. I probably should have started there first. That's one thing. The Lord's love is complete. He finished it at the cross. He finished it at the cross. It's there already. Think about that. That victory is there already. He says, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He's already won it. He's already won it. And what he's doing with us sometimes is this. He just purges the garbage, the unbelief, the things that do not glorify him, the things that are not love, the things that are selfish, the things that will keep us back from him. He shows us these things, and he's a gentleman, so he's not going to make us choose what to do when he's showing it to us. But we have that choice to let it go to him. He's a good God. He shows it there so he can take it from you. What does it say? My yoke is easy, my burden is light. You know, so when you do, you say that prayer, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit with me. When he shows you these things, we can say, you know what? Praise God. Praise God. Lord, I don't want that anymore. That's fear. That's doubt. That's unbelief. That thing's trying to destroy me. Thank you for showing me that, Lord. Here, would you take it from me? I don't want it. I don't want it. And let it go. And really, let it go. I found myself the other morning in Romans 8. Nothing shall separate me from the love of Christ. And Lord, I got this ailing against me. And I got this adversary. And I got this adversary. I got these things. Lord, nothing shall separate me from the love of Christ. Lord, I don't want this garbage. I'm fearful. I'm doubtful. And I'm letting fear in all these areas. Lord, I don't want it. It's trying to kill me. Here, you take it. And I find myself giving it to him. Praise you, Lord. Find myself reaching back for it. What are you doing? Let it go. Let it go. Really give it to him. Let it go, Philip. He loves you. The Lord's got it. Trust him. Trust his gospel. Believe him. Let it go. Let it go. Let him be God. That's what he's saying. Let me be God. Don't worry about it. I mean, look at Paul and Silas when they went down to the prison, the uttermost part of the prison. That's where all the crap comes down to shoot. They're singing and praising God. Man, talking about them getting it about letting him be God. Must he be here for the reason? Praise God, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. In prison, praise you, Lord. I'm thinking, wow. Talk about letting it go. That Jesus is Lord of the way I feel. You talk about letting it go. They were there for a purpose. That's exactly where God wanted them at that time. Ended up ministering to the guy that was praying to know the Lord. I think he was the jailhouse keeper of that one. In that story. It could be getting too mixed up. I don't know. Ended up being just for that jailhouse keeper that was seeking the Lord. And he sent Paul. Was it Paul and Silas or Paul and Barnabas? It was Silas. Paul and Silas. You know, so in the midst of all that, I mean, the Lord had it. Lord had it covered. Had nothing to worry about. You know, the Lord's good. The Lord's good that way. You know, I want to go to, let's see here. I don't know if I want to go here or not. You know what? I was on that vein. Let me just jump to 2 Peter, or maybe 1 Peter. I know I'll find it when I get there. Forgive me for the dead air, folks, online. I got 1 Peter. We're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Paul, I think, is having a good old time up here. And by the way, you know, I don't know, man. I really wanted to come up here and sing, but they were like, no, you don't need to come up and sing. And I was like, what? You know, Lisa's gone. I just don't get it. I mean, my skills are just being crushed right now. I don't understand.
Praise God.
I love getting a praise God in the congregation. I mean, to me, I sound great. No, I'm teasing. I know I sound terrible. But praise God, I sing in the car by myself. All right. 1 Peter chapter 4. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. You know, I got a really clear understanding of this when I was out in Texas. And that is, don't take that call, that flesh. Just like I was sharing that morning, I was in Romans 8, man, and I had all kinds of garbage hitting me, all kinds of fears, all kinds of worries. I had to really rebuke it. That means don't take that call. I shouldn't even let it in. And at some point I let it in. I wouldn't have had to fight it so freaking bad. You know? But at some point, I let that sucker in. The fear, the doubt, the worry, and I had to get to Romans 8 and claim the gospel. Claim His love for me. And it's there, and it's complete. You know, that suffering of flesh is, don't take that call, man. You know, this thing's constantly, and it says suffer here. You know, this thing's constantly nagging on you. This old man's constantly at your front doorstep trying to get you to listen to it, to go his way. See, unlike the Lord, the flesh puts stuff on you. It puts things on you. It wants to take over your will. The Lord's given you free will and a choice to weigh out of that. There's a big difference. And so part of that is saying, you know what, Lord? Not my will be done, but yours. And that's what Jesus did. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, He made that choice. He made that choice, man. It's, you know, sometimes we get, but you don't understand. And the Lord's going, I'm sorry, son, but it's you that do not understand. He made a choice. But see, that makes Him awesome. That makes Him awesome because He knows the temptation. He's the high priest. He came down from His Godhead, His throne in heaven, and came down and died for us. And was tempted just as like we are tempted. But He was obedient to the Father. He made that choice. He made that choice to the point of sweating blood. I mean, striving against sin. I don't even know what that looks like. I don't even know how to battle that like that. I don't even know where to touch that realm of not my will be done but yours, to the point of sweating blood. I don't know what that looks like. But the Lord is... Lord does, and He understands, and He's a merciful God. And that's why you can go to Him, and you can claim His love. That's why you can go to them with these areas and the things that are being shown that come up in your life, and you can give it to Him, and He wants to deliver you out of those things. He wants you to be free in Him. He really does. And we just simply make the choice. He's done the work. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh toward the lust of men, but to the will of God. That's why Christ died. We have that choice. He gave us that way out. That we're not bound to this old man. To the selfishness, the idolatries, the murders in our heart. We don't have to be bound to it anymore. To do what the flesh wants to do. But we can make a choice to serve God. And love one another. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with the wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached, also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but to live according to the God to God in the Spirit. Look, before we met Christ, we didn't come to Christ on a good day. We were caught up in the flesh and the ways of the world, beat down, broke down. To the same, what does it say right here? The will of we walked into lasciviousness, lust, excessive wines, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries. That's where we were at. But we had the gospel preached to us. And you know where it's funny, where it says right here, who shall give to him that is ready to, not that part, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead. You're talking about what the Lord looks as dead. And we take this back to Adam and Eve at the garden, where Adam ate of that, the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. Don't eat that. Okay. But it sat there and he ate it. And as soon as that happened, you're cut off from that spirit. The flesh became cursed. That soul was bound to that flesh at that point. That's why Christ died. That's why we can now live. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, Jesus connects that spirit. Actually, that's what the Father does. Reconnects your spirit and your soul back together. You have a choice. That water baptism, that cuts off, that's what you step out in faith to be cut off from the flesh. You don't have to listen to that old man. You'll be resurrected in Christ as he was resurrected. That's an important thing. These baptisms are important. Yep. But that's why. That's why Christ died. So then when God looks at somebody being dead, remember where he talks about, he goes, first, come follow me. Well, first, let me, you know, I want to come follow you, but let me bury my father first. And he says, let the dead bury the dead. Well, how the dead is going to bury the dead? It's not going to be a dead body. Going up from the grave and going, getting the other dead body and picking it. No, it ain't a zombie movie. It's because that way that unbelievers bury the unbelievers. They're cut off from that soul. But that's why the gospel is preached. That's why the gospel is preached. That they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all these things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. You know where it says, but the end of all things... But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. You know, the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. You know, as I go, and I was telling you about my struggles and telling you about the things where I have not trusted God in, and I'm showing you the things that come up in my heart, just like that hyssop as that junk comes up, and as I give these things unto the Lord. You know what I mean? It's very important. Now's the time for this stuff to happen. Now's the time for this purging to go on. You don't know when the Lord's going to be coming. You know, and it's time to take the Lord seriously. It's time to make a choice today if you're going to take the Lord serious or not. But we're not even guaranteed tomorrow. You know? And above all these things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Man, I look at that. And one of the things is, we talk about fear being the food for the devils. I mean, you take heed to that spirit of fear. The things I was talking about, bad, I had to go to Romans 8 and say, nothing shall separate me from the love of Christ. And I had to cast that fear off, man. I had to give it to the Lord. I had to get it off me. That's food for the devils, man. You fear a thing, man, that thing becomes you. God, your God, and you feed it. But what does love do? Love casteth out all fear. So it says in John, love casteth out all fear. So here's an action that you can take to go against that fear. I mean, we're talking about putting the armor of God. We're talking about going into battle. We're talking about the gates of hell. That's a defensive weapon. You know, we need to be on the offense here. Think about it. Be on the offense, not taking, you know, it's don't sit around and just wait for the fear to go away. Or it might be, okay, well, I'm standing, I'm going to resist this. You don't just wait for the fear to go away. You know what? You go against that fear with the love of Christ. You get into His Word. You go talk to somebody in the body. Don't be scared to talk to them about something you're going through. Shouldn't be. For a body, we're going to love one another. We're going to have compassion for one another. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to tell one another what we need to hear.
Don't be afraid to come against fear.
And don't be afraid to come against fear. I mean, really.
That's
what we're here for. Love one another. Love one another. That's the thing that's going to break that bondage. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. And I like that part. If any man speak, let him speak the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. At what point, man, it is not about you. It's about loving God. It's about loving one another. It's about the body. You know, I watched a show called Sons of Anarchy. Don't recommend it. I like it. But you know, it's a club. It's about a biker gang. But you know what? The interesting in all this whole thing, and the Lord shows me these things no matter how wretched of a show it is. I mean, the Lord still shows me things in these things. And I'm watching the Sons of Anarchy. You know, it was all, everybody's all about the club. I mean, it's about, what do you do for the club? You know what I mean? It's like, don't, you know, there's one part where a guy holds his foot on a guy's bike. Don't forget your main purpose, man. Don't forget your priority. It's about the club. You know, but I say that in the sense of, man, it's about the body. It's about glorifying the Lord. And I'm telling you, whatever the Lord gives you to do, man, to glorify Him in it. Work, pick up a piece of trash on the ground, dig a ditch, go to work, love your wife, love your kids, love your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Whatever. Do it to glorify Him. And you know, that's one of the things that I've been going through this week. I'm going, you know, does this stuff glorify the Lord? You know, I see areas at work, man, that I have not paid attention to. that the Lord showed me some the other day, and I go, wow, I need to get my butt in there. I need to do some cleaning up. Because I go to work, I get paid to do a job. I want to serve my masters. And serving my masters, I serve these clients. And in serving these clients, that means getting us together as a team. And I bring the same concept of the body of Christ to work. And I've seen where I'm lacking. Because we're going to work as a team. If we're not working as a team, everybody's got their own agenda. They don't have their own same mind. They're going every which direction. And it's utter chaos. I don't have the right people in the right place. It won't work. There's certain people's strengths. There's certain people's weaknesses. And if I don't set that up just right, get long wait times. Get some chaos going on. But they all got to make a choice to come together as a team. And that's us. But see, we got Jesus Christ, the head of the body. And He all puts us in a place in this body, in a certain part, that fits. But it was the same Philippians, work out your own fear, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Means you find that real place in that body. That fits. That comes together. That becomes one body. But see, if we're all about our own business and our own mind and our own views, because only the true view is the Word of God, right? How are we ever going to come into that perfect man? Think about it. And it's our choice whether we're going to abide in Him or not. It's our choice to say, all right, Lord, this is what Your Word says, and I've had this many times. This is what Your Word says, and I don't like it. I don't like it. Sometimes that has happened. I can choose to believe this, or I can choose to believe this prideful, idiotic idea that I have that's trying to kill me. I mean, this doesn't make any sense to me right now. My idiotic idea does. Because that was the place that. But I had to make a choice to let it go, trust God. And as soon as I did, He showed me clearly how idiotic, well, at the time I didn't think it was idiotic, but how idiotic this idea was. And I'm starting to walk again, son of a gun. How idiotic I was over here. And I go, you know what? Thank You, Lord, for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. Thanks for showing me that. But I had to trust Him in faith and just let it go. I'm kind of getting sidetracked here. And here's the part that I really wanted to come to. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. You ever been through that? Yeah. I mean, as I start to walk with the Lord, there are times when it's just like, oh my goodness, how can this all happen at one time? I'm like, look, let me deal with things one at a time. Man, are you serious? All this is coming down now? I mean, you ever been at work? You just have five problems that set off in a row. Like, boom. It's like, you kidding me? It's like there's this being out there, and I think it's Satan. And he just wants to destroy it. There's no freaking way that this all can happen at once. This is not even possible. And I go, you know, says we will have tribulation. You know, the thing is we're going to have tribulation whether we're a believer or not. But He tells us, be of a good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, so that's a choice I make. And you know, the neat thing is the more times that this happens, the more times that this fiery trial comes to try you, the more times that I go, you know what though? Lord, you're good. And man, I'll go off in the corner. I'll start praying in tongues. I'll return, man. That thing's handled. And the next thing's handled. Next thing's handled. Next thing's handled. Because the Lord's good. And it doesn't matter. You got Paul and Silas, the bottom of the uttermost part of prison. Praise you, Lord. I tell you, I don't want to go through that. I'm telling you, I'm not volunteering to go in the bottom of the sewer and praise the Lord. However, but that's exactly where God wanted them to be at. To minister the gospel of grace to somebody else. And also, this fiery trial is within you. You know, that fiery trial is also part of, you know, when I was looking at Saturday, I was looking at the areas where I need some work, man. Same concept. Trust God. Seek His will in that. Talking about being part of that body, finding out what He would have me do in that area. And in the midst of the day, I had to, and He did show me something. But He also showed me other things. I had people in the wrong places at the wrong time. I had everything set up wrongly. But you know what? Praise God. Give me a sermon today. Amen. Amen. Not only that, it gives me a better way to operate the business. Amen. To glorify Him. Also that, it's going to minister to those guys out there on the floor as I bring Jesus' word into the shop. Amen. It's going to be a relief for them, I guarantee it. It's going to become easier because I'm going to have the right people in the right place. And then in those areas that those guys aren't, when we're slow, we can work on those areas to strengthen them. So they can grow. I don't want them to stay where they're at. I want those guys that are serious about the Lord, are serious about the job, I want them to grow into a manager's position. Send them up to another store. Let's expand Gerald's. I'd love to see that. Let's expand it out. I mean, the same concept here. You know, we're not all called to be pew warmers. We're called to be ministers of Jesus Christ. We all need to grow in the faith of Jesus Christ. I mean, Jeremy, imagine you having a church at your house. You doing this every Sunday. Jeff, imagine you having a service at your house. You doing this every Sunday. Brad, you too, down in Texas. Well, I mean, we all live close, but man, imagine having that many people. Angie, you. Yes. Having that many people saying, okay, we'll meet up once a month. We got a lot of people. I mean, that's what it's about. Spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Part of this, guys, part of this fiery trial, part of this purging that goes on, it's for the good. It's to bring forth what? More fruit. What is fruit?
Love.
Love. And there is no greater love than the love of Jesus Christ. And that's all boils down to the gospel and what He's done for you. And us dying to this fleshy thing, this old man, and living unto Him, man, and serving Him and preaching the gospel. Because that gospel saves life. It gives eternal life, love, and power. It lasts forever. There is no greater gift than Jesus Christ dying on the cross for you and me, and not for just us only, but for the whole world as well. And it comes down about that. And that's why we diligently put this old man to serve Him, that we may glorify Him in all things. I'm going to go to Thessalonians and I'm going to wrap it up. I want to start at 13. I'm sorry. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 13. Or 12, actually. And this is what Paul's writing to the Thessalonians. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Faithful is he. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with the holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. I'm not going through all that, but study that a little bit this week. It's all about glorifying him and how good he is, and he's faithful and he's good. And are you going to screw up? Every single one of us is going to screw up. But you count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You know how you learn? You learn by when you screw up. And the Lord's bigger than all that, and he fixes that, and he redeems that, because he's God and he can do that. And he's good. But it's all about furtherance of the gospel, man. It's all about him and saving lives. There's a battle going on, and it's important that we be about his business. I'm done.
I appreciate you coming up here and vamping a little bit while Lord ends up showing me something that's kind of neat. And that's your job. You do it well. Praise God. Man is universally scared of what most? Absolutely. And the one thing Jesus had going for him was he had a perfect relationship with the Father, and he knew what he was there for, and he knew where he was going, and he knew what he was doing, right? So he knew he was there to die. And he knew that wasn't going to be the end, but that was going to be the end of his flesh. He's going to die, right? The only time that ever came close to being a problem was, and it wasn't a problem so much in his manhood, in his carnal fleshness. It was a question of the same kind of dynamic that was going on in Paul with the Philippians. Whether it's better to go now, be with the Father, you know, I'd rather do that, but it's more needful for you. Jesus was having trouble in the garden with that same sort of looking out for his disciples. That was not a looking out for himself. He knew where the end was. We look here in 1 Peter chapter 4. This is one of those verses that I, as a pew warmer or a sometime church attender or even somebody who's a regular attender, didn't want to pay much attention to. It's one of those strange verses. For as much then as Christ hath suffered it for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise, with the same mind. How, in what way is that an arming of yourself. And what is the mind? Well, the mind is, Jesus is here to die. This stuff is cursed. This is going to die. I'm here to die. I'm here to die once. Right? As Hebrews says. When that is the armament that you put on in Jesus Christ, when you put on Jesus Christ, you put off the old man, put on the armor, the whole armor of God, out of what, Ephesians 6? When you put on Jesus Christ, you put on that determination that I'm here to die. Once you have settled on the end, then how much control does the enemy have with all of his darts and arrows? And when you arm, you are arming yourself against the enemy. When you're agreeing with Jesus, who came here to die for us, that you're willing to arm yourself likewise with his mind. And when that happens, the flesh isn't in control anymore. It's ceased from sin because it has no hold on you. All the motives that were designed to look like one thing while they're actually protecting you from your fear of dying, positioning you to look good while you're positioning yourself not to die. I mean, let's face it, that's what we do our whole lives, is to look good, better than we are while we're really doing what we're trying to do, which is to save our ass. Right? That's what we do. That's where all the best basis, all literature and everything else, all the television shows and movies and stuff, is people trying to do one thing and not look like they're doing that thing, but doing what really serves themselves. But all the rest, pew warmers, aren't interested in finding this out, aren't interested to have this revealed to them, and they're not interested in the outcome of all this stuff, which unfortunately, if you're not armed with that same mind, if you're not in him, it's going to be a hard case to make when he's judging us that there's any reason at all that you should stand. And that's why this stuff's here, so we can get this stuff right now. When you make the choice to arm yourself in the same way Jesus Christ was armed, it's all over. It's all over but the victory march. The enemy has no more control over you. The call you take from the enemy to the flesh, it doesn't. There's no connection there anymore. It's cut off. That's why Jesus, when he's being tempted, he just kept speaking the word. It's all there. It's perfect. Connection between the flesh and the Father. He was the bridge. And he had a connection. He didn't have to take the lies of the enemy. He didn't have to take the call. He didn't have to have his pride stroked. He didn't have to have his power confirmed by the prince of the world. He had no ego to stroke. His flesh didn't rule him. He had a perfect connection with the Father. And in every opportunity, cut the connection, did not take the call from the flesh. And his mind was to do the will of the Father, and the will of the Father was he was the sacrifice. And if we arm ourselves with that same mind and are motivated by that same fervent charity, fervent agape, if that's what rules us, then it's all over but the victory dance. Because the Lord's good. And that's what That's what that means. Arm yourself. Arm yourself. Let's say arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Think that's... When you make that choice, flesh ain't going to like it. And you know, when you get down to the end of this thing, where you stopped in chapter 4, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you, as though some strange things happened to you. The trial comes to prove you that you have armed yourselves with the same mind. To prove to you, to prove to others who need to know, and to prove to God that you have the faith of Abraham. Same thing. It works the same way in every age. It was the same gospel to Abraham, same relationship, pre-law. Pre-law. God hasn't changed any, neither is the message. And he's good.